watching and making time to pause and to focus on God's word tonight. And I want to thank all of the people that work to make these services happen. I'm not just saying that because one of them is my husband, but because I really do appreciate that. And I know it takes a lot of work and energy to make these services happen. And I just want to thank everybody that takes time to do that. And I especially want to thank God for the move of his spirit that we felt here last Sunday. It was just so awesome, and it never ceases to amaze me how even when we're physically distanced from each other, that doesn't have any stop on God's spirit. He always just is able to bless us with what he wants to do during our services, no matter how far apart we may be physically. And it was just such an awesome service on Sunday. I also want to thank him for the sunshine that we've had today, because that was a very nice break in the rain. I want to talk tonight about an aspect of what we felt on Sunday, God's grace. Grace is a term that has a few meanings, and I will own up to the fact that sometimes I've used that word without really thinking too much about it, what it means. It's a word that's pretty frequent in our vocabulary about God, but I really have had a reason to just stop and think about it a little more and think about what it means. And I had an experience a couple of years ago that I'll tell you about later that really caused me to really stop and think about that word. It caused me to really think about God's grace in our lives. So I first want to start by just talking about what grace means, what the definition of that word is, and the way that we see it used in relation to our God. So grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So we know that the grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. It's not something that we earn by our works. To have God's grace is to have his blessings in our life, to have his favor upon us. Grace functions totally apart from human merit or works, and it rests completely in Christ. Grace is something we don't earn or deserve. It's God's choice to give it to us. But we do our best to honor and respect the grace and the favor and the blessings he adds in our life. And we live in the grace that he affords us, which is what causes us to live a holy life. So we act according to his grace. So for my first scriptures, I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. And I'm going to pause so everybody can turn to that. And give you a minute to turn to that. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 7 and 8. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is the gift of God. So this is what we were just talking about. It's not something that we bring upon ourselves by our works. It's something that God gives freely, and it's his pleasure to give. And it's something that comes to us from the sacrifices that Jesus made. And it's in the ages to come, it says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. So it's something that goes on and moves forward into our future. If we're full of God's grace, shouldn't we then act gracefully? So we've kind of focused on this definition of grace being the free and unmerited favor of God. But there's this other aspect of grace, which is to be graceful or to act full of grace. And so if we experience God's grace, then it seems that we should act according to that grace and be a reflection of that grace and favor that he grants us. So I wanted to look a little bit also at the word graceful and look at that definition as well. So the word graceful is defined as showing grace or beauty in form or action. And I think that definition is probably what we all think of when we think of graceful. I tend to think of being elegant, or maybe an image comes into my mind of like a woman wearing a really beautiful dress and moving gracefully through a room, and someone that is beautiful. And that's true. But there's also a definition that of graceful that is to be respectful, to move in a respectful and dignified way, or to act in a respectful and dignified way. And some synonyms to graceful, which I think these are really the part that I connect with, is some synonyms for graceful are harmonious, pleasing, neat, beautiful. So there's something about those words that helps me, you'll see where I'm headed with it eventually here, which is that when we have God's grace and we live in that grace, then we'll act that way and he'll make a way for us to act in a graceful way. So back to this story that I mentioned that caused me to stop and think a couple years ago. A few years ago, I was traveling with some friends from this church, and we had the chance to have brunch with a friend of mine that lives in the area that we were visiting. So I had this revelatory moment in the parking lot of a brunch place in Pasadena. We just had our brunch, and we were standing out in the parking lot about to part ways, and we were just talking about how crazy the world was and how sometimes it can just be so hard to even watch the news and not feel completely overwhelmed by it and completely just pulled into all of the intensity that's always on the news and that's always going on in our world. And I was maybe expecting her to say something like, oh yes, I know, it's so awful, it just overwhelms me all the time. And instead she said, yeah, I watch the news and I know what's going on and you know, the things that are burdening us and the things that are happening in this world, but we just have to remember that God has always had grace for his people and he has grace for us too. And I know that is really simple, but there's something about the way she said it that has been giving me comfort ever since, because her simple statement helped me remember that every single generation of God's people has had to live through the particular trials and challenges of their time. So surely in each one of the eras that they all lived through, they probably felt like the world was falling apart, right? I mean, around them, things were happening that felt like the world as they knew it was falling apart, which is how our world feels, at least to me. It feels like it's falling apart in a new way every single day. But they didn't, of course, know how things were going to end up, right? In that moment, it had to feel like this is the worst it's ever been. Like, it can't get worse than this. But what made God's people stand apart in every era is that their path was defined by God's grace. It wasn't defined by whatever thing was happening in the world around them at that time. That doesn't mean it wasn't happening to them. That doesn't mean they weren't living in it. But it wasn't where they were headed. It wasn't their ultimate goal, and it wasn't the only thing that defined them. And also, because they had God's grace and God's blessing and God's favor, they acted according to that grace. So they acted different than they would have acted if they didn't have God guiding them. So it's not just that God blesses us with his grace or gives us his favor, but he makes a way for us to act gracefully and to act according to grace, no matter what's going on around us. He always makes a beautiful solution to a complex problem. And if we stop and allow him to, he always gives us a way to act and speak that allows his grace to shine through. Sometimes the problems in our world feel so big and so consuming that they can really bring us down. But we can take comfort when we think of those generations before us that have found a way through the trials of their times with God's grace. And we know that we have a bunch of examples in the Bible of that, but just to touch on a few of them, when you think about the Israelites when they were captive and when they were enslaved by the Egyptians, do you think they ever felt overwhelmed? Do you think they ever felt like this is the worst it could possibly be, right? I mean, they don't have any freedom. They can't move around where they want to. They're not getting enough food. They're being beaten every time they turn around. It's pretty hard to imagine anything, you know, worse than that. I mean, it was a horrible situation. So surely they felt overwhelmed, and we know they did because they cried out to God. We know that they were crying out to him and reaching out to him with all their might because they were so overwhelmed. But they didn't know that up ahead, with his grace and wisdom, he was going to part the Red Sea. I mean, who would have ever known that that was going to happen? And no matter how much they would have thought about it or tried to figure out a way to fix it or tried to think of how could this problem be solved or what is God going to do. I just cannot imagine any one of them would have ever thought that he was going to part the Red Sea. That probably was never something they would have imagined. We've also been recently studying in the New Testament about those who were persecuted for serving God. Do you think they ever felt overwhelmed by the negativity and cruelty around them? I'm sure they did. And they didn't yet see all the ways in which God was going to use the words they were saying and the word, the gospel that they were spreading. They didn't know how he was going to spread that all over the world. Could they have ever fathomed in their wildest imagination that people in a tiny town in Alaska would be sitting and talking about their words? I can't even imagine that they would ever even think of that. But yet God had a plan for that and he had a path for them. And so we know when we look at those things, we can see that God will work things out for us. He's not going to do less for us just because we're in this era. He's going to bring us through, and someday we'll be able to look back and see the path that he was leading us on the whole time. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I'll give everybody a moment there to turn to that or scroll to that or whatever device you're using to look at God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. So verse 10, it's just one scripture, but it says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And I just wanted to bring that scripture out because I like how it covers all these different time spans. He delivered us, he doth deliver, and we trust that he will yet deliver. So we know that his grace is going to deliver us just like he did all those generations before us, and he's going to bring us through. I'd next like to turn, actually you can stay right there in 2 Corinthians and just bump up to verses 1 and 4. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So to me, these scriptures start to tell the story of what we can do with our grace that God gives us, the favor that he gives us and the blessing that he gives us. We can take that and we can comfort people that are in any trouble. And who do you know that isn't in any trouble right now? Everyone is. Everyone's feeling the strain in this world. Everywhere you turn, there's something to be worried about or something to get riled up about. But we can comfort God, comfort people with God's truth and wisdom. The other day, someone reminded me of that, which I was really thankful of when I was feeling really stressed out and worried about things I've heard in the news. And someone took that time to remind me, you know, I can only get so worked up about it because God's in control. And so all these headlines, they only matter so much. They're only a small piece of the puzzle, and God's in control of the whole thing. And then after that person reminded me of that, I got to tell someone else that the other day when we were just talking about everything that was going on. I got to say to them, you know, well, isn't it good to know that God's in control? And it felt like I could just see their shoulders relax a bit, and they took a breath, and it was not somebody that I go to church with, but just somebody that I know loves God. And we were able to talk about that, and I could see the physical effect on their body of being reminded, like, yeah, God's in control. It's going to be okay. And so it felt good to be able to have something meaningful to offer people during this time. Just when we're talking about all these unsolvable problems and frustrating situations, to remind them that we don't want to just dwell on that because it goes nowhere but in circles. The only graceful, harmonious thing that I could think to say was to remind them about how God's in control. every day brings new headlines and new bad news, it seems like. And we see people shouting these headlines at each other, and we see people making mean comments and bullying each other, and generally feeling very self-assured, like they know everything and they're just gonna tell you all about it. There's so much to be disappointed and deflated about when you look around at people in this world right now, but that one little moment of being able to say something that was just good and true to someone, it just reminded me, like, that's what we can do for people, and that's what they need to hear from us. As I was studying for this teaching, I was thinking about different parts that I wanted to bring in, and then it was just kind of awesome how God always puts everything in order. And when we were getting ready to sing our song last Sunday, Mary Jo was the one, I think, who brought up, what if we sing that I Will Not Be Shaken song? And I just, it just made me stop and cry and thank God for a minute, because I was like, that's exactly how I feel, you know? We won't be shaken as long as we can keep ourselves in a place where we can see God's favor and we can see that we're following his path and we have his grace. As long as we can live like that, we can see what our next step ought to be. But we can't get entrenched in this world. Another example that jumped out to me was something I testified about recently. I heard something on the radio about how if we keep our eyes turned only on God, we can navigate all the craziness around us. And it put an image in my brain of somebody walking on a balance beam. You know, and if they stay and they look straight at what they're walking towards or what their goal is at the end of the balance beam, they'll be able to stay on the balance beam and not fall, theoretically. I would probably still fall, but like an experienced person that does the balance beam, like an experienced gymnast, would not fall if they kept their eyes on the balance beam and on the goal ahead of them. And I just think about if they were to look off to the right or the left, if they were to get distracted by the crowd, they're probably going to fall. And so if we focus on God and we focus on what he has ahead of us, we won't be looking to the right or to the left, and we won't be falling. We won't be shaken if we can keep our goal on seeing his favor and walking in his grace. And I think that also thinking about keeping ourselves in his grace and behaving gracefully the way that God shows us to act, it also is a pause and a checkpoint for us to stop and say, if I can't imagine him using the words I'm using, if I can't imagine him doing the action I'm doing, if I can't imagine him saying what I'm saying, then we have to stop and think, how can I walk in his favor again? We have to constantly course correct. And again, in this world, we see that people just seem to be more and more entrenched. When they grab onto something, they cling to it so hard, and they don't ask, can I see God's favor in this? Can I do this with God's blessing? But we have to do that because we have his spirit and we have his grace. It's an essential question for me to do that every day. And to be honest, I think that's really hard sometimes, because I care about people, and I care about them whether they're my family or friends. I care about them in general, because they're humans like me, and I want them to be okay. And it's really hard to see people suffer and be afraid and be scared and terrified, and it's hard to look around and see cruelty and oppression and anger and strife in our world, and it can be so distracting and so consuming of our attention. And I also think, you know, you look around and it seems like people now, you can find an article that will tell you anything you want to hear. You can believe anything you want to believe. People get to believe whatever they want to believe. And they seem so desperate to find out the truth about everything. But then they don't really also seem to really want to look at the truth that's in God's word. They just want to look for the truth everywhere else. They want to talk about everything else but God, sometimes it seems. And that's their choice. And there's not really anything that I can do about it, except for to live the truth that God has shown me, and to work on myself and be willing to change and to grow and to let people see that. And then there's a chance if they see that and they see the results in my life and they see that God is in control of my life, there's a chance that they'll they'll want to know more, and I can share with them about God's truth, and they can look at me and see that I'm functioning with God's blessing in my life, and it gives me a way to give them something meaningful and something that's actually really true in this world. And so next scripture I want to turn to is 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. And these, I know these are scriptures that we all know about the times that we're living in. But just as a reminder, and when I read these scriptures, it's always amazing to me how accurately God's word describes what we're going through today. So 2 Timothy 4 and verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And so I think that's exactly what we were just talking about, where everybody's looking everywhere else except for at God. They want to look in all the other directions and get distracted by everything else that's out there. Another scripture that's related to this is in Psalms. And this one is definitely, I think, a pretty accurate description of how it can feel in our world today. And it's always amazing to me when I look and think, you know, this is something that David said so many years ago, but it's so relevant to us now. In Psalm 57 in verse 4, give everybody a minute to turn there. Psalm 57 verse 4 says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And I think that seems like a pretty accurate description of just going out, you know, to do anything in the world right now, is everybody's so amped up that it seems like their tongue is a sharp sword and they use it against each other. And in our time, it seems like people can really express themselves so quickly. Someone can say something out of context and we can be made aware of it instantly with all the communication methods that are around us. It can be like an assault if we get too disturbed in it or too involved in it. There's just so much news out there, bad news. And people shout out one-liners and headlines, and they don't look much farther than that. I feel like for myself, if I can sum up the complex situations of humanity with a one-liner, it's probably a good time for me to step back and remember that God didn't give us just one-liners. He gave us a whole Bible to guide us. And so he took the time to really take us in depth and show us all the things we need to know about being a human in this world. He gave us the full deal, not just a snappy headline or a quick jab at somebody. And our gaze goes way beyond what's happening right now in this moment in time. We're looking towards the future, and we know that God's grace will provide us a safe passage to that future. And that's the way we can help ourselves, by remembering that every day. I know I have to just remind myself that every day, that God's in control. And when we remember that, it gives us those opportunities to help people. We know we won't change the trajectory of this whole world, but we could be instrumental in changing the trajectory for one person and for individual people. And that's what God's given us to do if we pause and just ask ourselves, how can I act gracefully, pleasingly, and harmoniously towards the people that God puts in my life? So let's look now at Hebrews 12. And this, we'll go to 26 through 29. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. It says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And in this time that we're living in, it definitely feels like everything is being shaken. And so it's just a comfort to know that if we're holding on to God and we're working and living in his grace and with his favor and his blessings in our life, we're not going to be shaken. God's grace gives us the chance to pause whenever life becomes too much. When life makes us want to react instead of stopping and thinking, we can hit pause because we know God will carry us through and we'll be part of his solution and the way that he's taking us. People want to talk and shout and give you a piece of their mind and feel like, if everybody just did what I think, everything would be fine. It seems like that's the way a lot of people feel right now. But we know that there's not any person, if they're acting outside of God's will, that's going to come up with a better plan, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen. they might think so, but if they're acting outside of God's word, it's not going to, just not going to fix things. Only God's plan is the only one that's going to fix this. Even some plans that might have really good intentions, if they're not God's plan, it's still not God's plan. It's still not going to work out. My mom once gave me an example of that, which I think is a really good one for me to remember, which she said, I can't think of one time when I've been at the altar and I've been praying and just coming up with all these ways in my mind that like God could work something out. She said, I can't think of one time that he's actually gone with my plan. And I think that's funny. Like, it's a lighthearted way for me to remember that. But it's also, it's so good to, it's very comforting, actually, to be like, you can strategize all day long, and you are never going to figure it out in the way that God's going to do it. And so why wear yourself out with that? It doesn't profit us anything to get worked up about that and to get all caught up in the world. We can take comfort in knowing that he's got us on the right path, and that's what we need to keep focused on. So, and that's a way we can help people too, right? Is to just be an example for others of having that peace in our lives and that grace in our lives during these crazy times. So I wanted to look at some scriptures that reminded me of how those that are blessed by God are, like some of the ways that they act. So this is in Matthew 5, and I'm going to read kind of a lot, but kind of quickly. So Matthew 5, and starting in verse 3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you." I've always found that, that's a little challenging, you know, to think about rejoicing when these things come on us, but it's just that pause to remember this is happening because God has a plan and you're part of it. If you're following his ways and if you're one of the ones that's walking with him and living in that grace, that you're on a path that's going to end well if you're walking with God. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if that salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Those scriptures are just such a reminder of what the blessed ones that are operating under that grace of God and with that gracefulness, those are the things that they're doing. They're the ones that are merciful, and therefore they'll obtain mercy. They're pure in heart, and so they're going to see God. Those things are going to come to them, and we can't see him yet, but they will come. The last scripture I have tonight is a short proverb, Proverbs 12, verse 25. So if you want to turn to Proverbs. I love Proverbs because sometimes I think it's kind of cool how they seem to jump all over the place a little bit, but yet be so spot on. You can just totally apply each one to your life, and you just can see, you can think of an exact situation in your life that's captured in a proverb. I always enjoy reading those. So Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of the man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." And it's so simple in our time, but that's so true. People are just, everywhere you look, it feels like everyone is kind of stooped over. They're just overburdened with all the things that are coming at us in this world and the constant flood of information that's just flowing all the time. But it's so simple that a good word maketh it glad. A good word is more from God, and a good word about God and a good word about God's truth is much more than just an opportunity to temporarily cheer someone up and like maybe make them feel better for a moment that they're struggling in. It's an opportunity for us to show them that God's grace can carry them through what is going on in this world, and it can take them on into eternity. So I just hope as we're all thinking this week and going through the constant barrage of stuff that's going to be out there every single day, relentlessly, that we can just remember that and remember that God's got a way for us to act that's different than that. And we can stop and take a deep breath and remember that he's got a plan and a graceful plan to get us through all this. And he can give us a graceful way to act during these crazy times. So thank you again for taking time to think on God's word tonight with me. And as our musicians come up, I'll just end by saying how much I hope you just feel God's grace and favor in your life this week. And we'll see you on Sunday, either online or in person at 1 p.m. Thank you.